But one person who will be a subscriber very soon, I'm sure, is young Blake.
Blake, yes.
Good morning, fam. How are we?
Good, mate. Well, there's only me and Nico here, so don't get too excited, all right?
Okay.
Blake, we were just, what's the word? We're just saying how well Beth looks.
At the recent wedding.
So is Beth getting married?
No,
it's all right, Blake. Don't worry, mate. Don't fall off his chair yet.
They're all on Facebook.
Yeah,
oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah,
pictures of the wedding.
She looks like a bumblebee, I said. Black and red, a very attractive bumblebee, I might say.
Fantastic.
But it's a black and yellow sort of number, and
I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, it's a bit, there's a few revealing shots of our Beth, which I was a bit concerned about, but anyway, Blake, you just behave yourself.
I will try, What's
been happening in the markets, mate?
Well, at the moment, the All Ordinaries is down about 40 points today, and that's really on the back of some weak economic data coming out of China. We're seeing a few rumours there about the property market and what could possibly happen there. They are potentially looking at a bit of a bubble over there, particularly for the apartment-style housing over there at the moment. Also a bit of weakness from commodity prices as well. So all that's really been pulling on the market. And we've seen today a lot of the big players like BHP and Rio are down, and that's obviously dragging the market down as well.
Wow. Well, that's come as a bit of a surprise. But then sometimes the overnight news, whether it be from America or Europe or China, can alter things dramatically in Australia. Yeah,
it certainly can, and that's what we've been seeing for, the last 12 months or so, is anything that sort of comes out that's either bad or good and is just really increasing the volatility on the market. And then we're seeing, when good news is out, the market's taking off, and when things are bad, the market's it's actually tanking. But, we're also getting some news out of Europe as well today that Fitch, who was one of the major firms who provide ratings for the banks and so forth, they've actually downgraded their ratings for 5 British and European banks, and they've also placed another 12 major European and US banks on watch, just citing their concern.
Wow.
Around the vulnerability of a lot of those banks and their exposure to a lot of what's going on within the Europe and US at the moment.
Yeah, that could be... is it the sign of things to come, do you think, Blake?
Well, I think it may be, and with all the drama that we've got going on in the Eurozone at the moment, we've obviously had Slovakia. I haven't heard today what's happened, but I think today they've got to come back on their decision because they voted no a couple of days ago on an increase to the bailout fund.
Yeah, they are very heavily against the bailout. It's the rank and file. It's the members of the general public. I was reading a report in the New York Times this week for the people of Slovakia, very dirty on the Greeks, who they say don't get out of bed till 10 in the morning. Then they sip coffee till midday, and then they decide if they'll bother going to work.
Look,
that's probably harsh.
A bit of a generalisation.
I'm sure there's quite a few Greek people who are definitely not like that, but this is really... It centres on the whole problem for me with the Eurozone. What we're looking at is obviously an amalgamation of 17 European countries who've really come together, and the Eurozone was created basically to provide free trade between each particular nation and to really smooth things out from a currency point of view. But to me, what's blindingly obvious is that although that's great in theory, each of these 17 countries are their own countries. They have their own fiscal policies. Their economies run at different speeds and different pace. So to try and make decisions for every single country that's going to try and make this one big global view, to me, is not going to happen. It's just impossible for all these countries to be doing the same thing at the same time. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing with Greece, where obviously they've got into a lot of trouble economically, and now they're relying on everyone else to come to the rescue and bail them out, which to me, like what a couple of the countries are basically saying, is very, very unfair.
Yeah. Blake Sterling is with our good friends at Wealth Within, and we welcome their input every week. What's your other main sort of observation of today, Blake?
Well, I've just been doing a little bit of research on the carbon tax. That's obviously come into the fore. We know that's passed through Parliament the other day.
Yeah.
Have you read up on the carbon tax stuff, guys?
Look, I was listening to one of them try and explain it. I just thought it was a load of crap.
crap.
I think Brett's over it, and I think I've just about had enough of it. But we should be taking more notice of how it's going to affect our day-to-day.
That's right. So basically what we're looking at is obviously the pricing for the carbon is $23 a ton.
Yeah, which they're all saying is far too high.
And that's what everyone is sort of saying, that's far too high, and that's likely to increase a couple of percent over the next couple of years. So I think after about 3 years, we're going to be looking at about $26 per tonne.
Oh, that'll be great. And because China and all that, they're going to follow us, aren't they? And they're going to join in and have a carbon tax as well.
Well, they actually are, yeah. In 2013, I think they've scheduled for their carbon tax to come in, Brett. So,
have they?
Yeah.
But I bet it's not $26
a
ton.
No, it's not going to be that much. So I was reading a report yesterday on some of the countries who are seriously considering bringing it in, and China's definitely one of them. And there's a few sort of European countries, and I think the US is looking at it as well. So it'll be interesting to see what they happen there. But from what I've read, it's likely that general costs per household will go up about $10 a week.
Yeah.
But apparently that's likely to be offset with all the tax cuts we're getting as well.
So. Yeah, and because we believe what Julia says, don't we? Because it was, August last year, there will be no carbon tax under the government I lead.
Exactly right.
Apart from the electricity prices going up, they're gumming around my way at the moment, Blake. I don't know about in Melbourne. Installing the smart meters, and people are telling me that also will bump up the price. It's already inbuilt in your electricity bill. I think they're saying about $75 a year
to have
a meter installed.
Well, I know locally, I mean, around where I live, we've had quite a huge problem with the smart meters, and people are literally telling companies to switch them off because they've seen a huge increase in the prices of their bills.
Yeah.
Which is very concerning.
Monitor it very closely, folks.
Exactly right.
Yeah, we might have to get somebody in to the show soon to talk about that.
Try and explain it.
That's a fantastic idea. I think you should do that.
Why the hell we need them. That and
exactly
the carbon
tax.
Geez, I love the government, seriously.
Fantastic, isn't it? Yesterday we saw where BHP and Rio Tinto were on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
Has that continued today?
No, the big players are down a little bit today, and again, that just comes on the back of commodity prices easing slightly. But look, to me, it's not a big concern at the moment, and these guys are likely to turn around quite soon. Rio actually released a report yesterday, and they've now set the world record, basically, of the amount of iron ore sold over a quarter. So I'm not exactly sure of how many millions of tons it was, but they've set a brand new benchmark there, so that just gives you a bit of insight into what's happening with Rio and all their mines from an iron ore perspective are running at full capacity. So those guys are actually screaming ahead at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. And they're going to get taxed as well by the government, aren't they? And this mining tax?
Unfortunately, they're going to be getting taxed. I know that the government set aside around $9 billion to try and help businesses find more greener solutions was the point that was made in this report that I was reading for their businesses. But my concern here is that could be money very poorly spent if, particularly from a mining point of view, there's not much more you can do to make these things any greener. I mean, you know, particularly from the guys who are actually manufacturing this stuff and melting it all down to make steel and whatever they do, there's not much more you can do to make that kind of stuff cleaner. So where that money is going to go is very concerning for me. That's a lot of money. That's $9 billion that they've set aside for that. So very concerning where that's going to go.
It is.
And also, maybe we could burn a few greenies or something and see how they they might burn a bit longer and
I wonder if I could
environmentally friendly.
Get a windmill in my backyard.
It'd be fantastic. We should all just get windmills and live on tofu and something. Bob Green really like us.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's a very controversial and emotional argument, and we still don't really know why we are paying the highest carbon tax in the world. But
because Julia said we needed it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Like she'd know.
On that
a lawyer, of all people.
Yes.
About 3 minutes to noon, you go.
Yeah, sorry.
It's 24 and a half degrees, though.
Beautiful
What's
day.
It like up in Hawthorn?
I'm just looking at the office window now, gentlemen, and it's absolutely fantastic outside. Blue skies and looking very, very nice. There's some nice young ladies walking around.
You'd be having a perv out the bloody window, wouldn't you? That'd be right.
So you're very close to the main business hub of Glenferrie Road there. I love that little shopping strip.
Just around the corner, Ian, actually. The corner. So that's a 30-second car drive from sort of around that area. So
car drive?
Really
What, Glengarry Hotel just nearby, is it, Blake?
Yes, it's one of the...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I know exactly where they are,
Nico.
Yeah.
What about the Polo, G-Bung Polo Club?
G-Bung Polo Club,
yes,
that'll be around the corner.
You close to that?
About a two-minute walk. Two-minute walk, so very, very handy.
And Casey's Nightclub, mate, how's that going? Is it, you get along there?
No, it's not really my sort of scene there, Brett.
Isn't it?
What about the McDonald's in Glenferrie Road, the 24-hour McDonald's?
You've
been seen there at all at 2 in the morning?
I can't say that I have, but look, don't go on Facebook because there might be some photos on there.
I'll be just jumping on there right now, I think, just to check them out, mate, just
you're
to see what you've been up to.
Lovely memories. I used to live in Hawthorne in Wattle Road, actually.
Okay.
Just near the corner of Glenferrie Road. It is a very nice little shopping strip there, and I hope it's still flourishing, is it?
It's a fantastic area, yeah. Some great shops down there, and some great people down there as well.
Yeah, everybody eating al fresco.
Oh,
would
be today.
Yeah. That will be this afternoon, definitely.
Look, thanks so much for coming on. Well, we've covered a few topics today, Blake.
We
jumped all over the place.
We certainly have. That's good.
But
good.
We enjoy the commentary from Wealth Within, and I know you'll post that on your site?
Yes, we're going to be starting to post some of the phone conversations we've been having on our website, which is great.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I gave him
not all of them, I hope.
No, not all of them, but so people can...
edited highlights.
Yeah, that's right. So people can come to our website, which is wealthwithin.com.au.
Yeah.
And we're also on Facebook now, which is facebook.com/wealthwithin, or give us a call on 9290-9999.
Wow.
That's excellent. And you and Janine were out doing a seminar somewhere recently, I see.
I was actually had a presentation last night.
Oh, okay.
The ATAA, which is the Australian Trading Association, down there. So, it was a nice presentation. It was myself and Dale down there last night, which held in the city, so about 100 people or so. And, it was good.
Yeah. Oh, very good, mate.
You're there with the guru, Dale Gillam, of course.
Yes. Certainly was, certainly was.
That's great. Yeah.
Are you following in his footsteps, mate? Just on the coattails there, are you?
Oh, that's probably the best strategy, I think.
Absolutely, mate. I'm not knocking. I'm saying go for it.
Exactly. Well, we're waiting for the book.
Blake
Sterling.
Yes, life story.
That's right. Stand on the shoulders of giants, as they say, is the old saying. So, yes.
Definitely. Mate, we're out of here. We're coming up to the news. We'll speak to you with Janine next week.
Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.